You're listening to A Certain Degree. Welcome back. My name is Nick. On this episode, I get a chance to talk to Chantal Watts about something that's close to both of our hearts, the news and journalism. The news with a lowercase n, journalism with a lowercase j. We're nerds when it comes to news. News nerds, if you will. Along with talking about Lou Gardens and a Mills 50 crosswalk, we talk about progress and how we balance out reporting on it versus how we feel about it. And sometimes maybe we have a little bit of a local bias, especially against Lake Nona. Enjoy this episode. Unless you live in Lake Nona, where you should still enjoy this episode. St. Paul and the Broken Bones on WPRK Winter Park, Florida. You're listening to A Certain Degree from their self-titled album. That was Seagulls. Seagulls. How do you say that?
Seagulls.
Oh, yeah.
Say that five times fast.
No. I will not. Good morning. My name is Nick. You're listening to A Certain Degree on WPRK Winter Park, Florida, the best radio station that ever has been or ever will be.
Ever. Truly.
And I'm here with the best guest that ever has been or ever will be. Chantal Watts is here.
Ever. Hi.
Don't tell any of the other guests that I said that.
It's my secret forever.
Okay, great. Thank you so much for being here. Chantal was on the show many moons ago, about 6.5 years ago, and has come back to talk about not only local journalism, local news, and stuff of that nature, but also to talk about some other things. We get together once a month.
We do.
We are formerly, in the podcast world fairly often, and this comes out as a podcast as well.
Yeah.
So we do a podcast trauma coffee. If anybody would like to join us
join
on that,
us. You can. Anytime.
You can actually text the station right now if you want to join. 407-646-2915 if you want to join us or ask any questions of either one of us. I did want to talk about something when it comes to journalism is our internal biases. So we were talking a little bit off air about some of the stories that we covered in this month's community paper. One of them is the new crosswalk on Mills, which will be over by Canton Avenue, I believe, basically right outside Planty's. Right next to Will's Pub and right by Wally's. And so this is something that's been needed for a long time.
Very much.
Along that stretch of road as it's become more and more popular. And this will be so a couple of things they'll be doing is taking the corners. There's no light at that intersection. So they'll be beefing up the corners there. So, you know, it'll be more room on the sidewalks.
Yes.
As people are waiting to cross. There'll be one of those flashing lights like you've seen on
yes.
Ivanhoe or Corinne over by East End Market. And then you're going to have an area in the middle that will be, I think they're calling it like a pedestrian, what's the word? Now I can't think of it. But
like a little island.
Yeah, a little island, but sanctuary.
Zone. Yeah,
sanctuary.
A little safety zone. Yeah.
Yeah. And so they'll be able to stay there so you don't have to cross the whole thing at once.
Right.
Because that's an issue since it's so wide.
Yeah, and if you're not as mobile and you need need that little halfway mark.
And so they're looking at doing that. I think that's going to go through fairly easily. They'll probably break ground either late this year or early next year on that as it goes through just the final design process and get a few more of those. And so from a progress standpoint, I like that idea. I like the idea of making way for something new. And in this case, they don't have to. So I think it's a pretty easy thing for people to get behind. I think the issues that people are going to have with it are going to be less about them doing it and more about, okay, how do we get more of these?
Right.
Right? How do we make it more safe for people to cross?
Right.
And then I look at a program or a initiative like Lou Gardens. And this has polarized a lot of people. And I think partly because of the way that it was introduced back in, I think, October of last year. And so they came out with this very grandiose plan and said, here are some things we're thinking about. And what that turned into online and in social media was, oh my gosh, they're going to do all of these things for sure.
Right.
And so the rumors started, like they talked about adding a restaurant because they want to keep, once people get there, they want to keep them there.
Yeah.
It's just a good tenet of any kind of park, any kind of place where you're paying to get in,
right?
Like you want to make the most out of your stay there necessarily. So we see a lot of places, whether it's a national park, a state park,
or local parks that have something along those lines in terms of amenities. People started talking about how they were going to put a Hillstone in because it was on the lake. And it was like, no, it's they're talking about a little cafe.
Right.
They're talking about doing little like they already do concerts there. They're just talking about making a better space for it.
Right.
And there was a lot of freak out about it. And so I attended another meeting, a follow-up meeting to that. They apologized. To their credit, everybody there, the city, the park, because it's owned by the city, or it's run by the city, I should say, was like, okay, look, we're not turning this into a theme park. We are not looking to create something that is not valuable to people. It's not about everything we do is about plants. And it's about the legacy of Harry P. Lou and his family for donating this in the first place. We're just trying to keep up with the times. And so they scaled phase one back a little bit. And I think there's still some people upset about it. But I'm like, yeah, let's do this. Like my internal clock, my internal biases are always, my clock is ticking for these things. I want to have these babies in Orlando as quickly as possible.
Yeah.
Oh, this analogy's gotten away from me.
It's going.
Are there circumstances where you're looking at progress and you just go, yeah, that's too much? Or do you ever think about your internal biases that way, like especially from a news perspective? Like I try to keep myself out of it, but obviously I feel strongly about certain things.
Yeah, I try really hard to look at the thing and look beyond how I feel it would impact me and look at how it would impact the community and thousands and thousands of people. It's not just about, we all get caught up in this like, well, it's my life, it's about me. But we are one of many, right? We are part of communities. And so we need to be able to look outside of ourselves and look at how things impact those around us and how they could positively impact those around us, right? And so, you know, so much of the hubbub with the Lou Gardens thing, it is such a beautiful resource and it's such a great place to go and to spend time. I've been there many, many, many times with my son. We're members. We love walking through the gardens and it needs a pick-me-up. It needs a refresh. And I think that that would just be so positive and beneficial for our city at large. And, you know, the people who live around it are generally the ones who are raising such a stink and a fuss because there's going to be more traffic and there's going to be more people and it's going to be noisy and loud and
busy.
That's
exactly what they sound
and
like,
too. It is.
Yeah, that
and they're
going to
park on my street. And it's just like, listen, you would benefit from this even if you can't see it at this moment. And you're also catastrophizing a little bit. There's not going to be cars double parked up and down all the streets. I'm pretty sure, like you said, parking was one of the things that they want to improve and create more of.
Yeah.
You know, there are ways to offset the fears that you are anticipating that you don't even know are going to be true. And so this reminds me of in my neighborhood, there was when we first moved in, there were plans to build on the corner by my neighborhood, a Checkers. And the people in my neighborhood lost their minds about this Checkers. The backup of the traffic's going to be insane of people trying to get in and out of this Checkers, and it's going to be awful, and it's going to ruin our neighborhood.
It's Checkers.
It's a Checkers. It has been there for 5 years. There hasn't been a single problem with the Checkers. But these people had these so much fear built up of like what could be and what they think is going to happen. And maybe it wasn't even their original thought. They heard somebody else be like, oh, the parking's going to be awful.
Yeah.
And so they're like, you're right. It is. And then it just snowballs. And none of those fears came true. The Checkers is perfectly fine. I very rarely ever see anybody there. You know what I mean? So like it's not causing this chaotic, horrific thing. And I think this is a similar situation with Lou Gardens, where people are just catastrophizing what they think is going to be awful if they make these changes. Like, you don't even know if that's going to be the case. I just think people are so resistant to any kind of change that could impact them anything less than positively. And, like, that's a problem. You need to step outside of that.
I think there's definitely those types of people. And I think a lot of those people don't realize that there's opportunity for feedback. So this was one of the – I went to a public meeting and they are collecting feedback. Not only – I actually went to two. So one was for Lou Gardens. One was for this crosswalk. They were completely separate meetings. And it's like we want to hear from people. Like we're not assuming we have the best plan.
Right.
And that's why we want to get this from people. So the people who are just going to be against it no matter what. I think the other component that frustrates me sometimes is the, well, it has to be done perfectly. If it can't be done perfectly,
it shouldn't be done.
It shouldn't be done.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I mean, like, why would you? It's that, what's the saying? Great, perfect is the enemy of good or great or whatever it is. And it's like, we need something. We all agree for the most part that this needs to be done, whether it's the redo of Corinne and Virginia Drive or Edgewater Drive or this crosswalk on Mills. We need to do something to improve the space that we have, make it more walkable, make it more accessible, help the businesses there. But we have to do something to do that. Like, and even if we don't all agree on exactly what that's going to be, let's try to make some progress on it.
Right. And well, and the whole thing, it's meant to be collaborative, right? That's the point of these meetings. That's the point of these public comment and the city saying like, hey, here's what we're thinking. Come tell us what you're thinking. Mm-hmm. And it's meant to be, we are a community and we can work collaboratively to get better. Right. And so for me, I'm always just, I internally, I'm begging people, hey, okay, so you heard this idea. You instantly, your hackles are raised and you don't like it because of XYZ reason. So then take a beat and think about what could fix that, what you think could be done to offset it. Like, don't just grumble, shut it down so that it, like, this can't happen. Be part of the process and discuss, like, what could be done, right? What are some things that could be changed or upgraded or fixed to make it better? Because the objective is to always make things better, mm-hmm. right? So instead of just being a stonewall, like, no, take a beat and think about, like, what are the yeses, you know? And so that's just always in something that I've definitely learned through my time in news is to just take a second, you know, because it doesn't have to be this, like, instantly, I don't like it, so it's a no.
So I wanted to talk about your appearance on the show because I think this kind of speaks to internal biases back in 2019. Mm-hmm. And again, I would encourage people to go and listen to that because it's a great show. Chantal was just so willing to play along with all of the dumb stuff that I was saying that was coming out of my mouth. But I wanted to see, because I love having journalists on. Mm-hmm. I want to keep doing that. I might switch it up for the rest of May because Fringe Festival is coming up. So I might have some people who are performing or maybe some other people who've been on the show before come in. But I'm really enjoying having people who do news, cover news locally, and getting to know them a little bit better.
Yeah.
Whether that's Steve Mort, who hosted Newsnight for a long time on WUCF, is now hosting Talking Central Florida on Central Florida Public Media. He's got this British accent. You'd think he was a straight up news guy. And then he came on and talked for an hour and a half about early 90s house music.
Oh, there you go.
Because that's his jam.
Yeah.
That is something that he absolutely loves. And I love that component of it. But one of the things I used to do was a game at the beginning when I didn't know people all that well. And it was a, what do you think about this thing? It was usually something in pop culture or something along those lines. And it had a name, like, instead of yes or no or up or down, it was peanut butter or jelly. So peanut butter if you like something, jelly if you didn't.
Right.
Do you remember what yours was?
Is this the apple pie one?
Apple was one of them. Apples was definitely one of the topics that I brought up. So yours was Alvin or the chipmunks.
Oh.
And so I was just throwing stuff out like apples to you. But I did want to play this one because I think it brings up two things that I wanted to talk about bias-wise.
Okay.
All right. So here's this from all the way back. We're going in a time machine. Woo!
Oh, my gosh.
Woo.
How do you feel about Alvin and the Chipmunks of self-driving cars?
Right now, I'd say chipmunks.
Yeah.
Just because they're not tested enough. You know what I mean? I'm not confident enough to be super excited about it. I know they've been driving around Lake Nona and doing a lot of testing here in Central Florida. We're kind of a hub for it. But until it's a little bit more proven, I'm going to go chipmunks.
Are you looking forward to the day when Lake Nona, we like stop hearing from them because the driverless cars have taken over?
Yeah. Yeah.
I like
be
that as a,
I'm excited about it.
As
a, yeah. Let's
same.
Do it.
Same. No offense to anybody in Lake Nona. I'm not even sure the radio station's signal gets down there.
Yeah.
So I doubt anybody from there is listening.
It's always funny to me hearing, you know, Lake Nona's, oh, it's in Orlando. I was like, but it's so far away.
It's not. Really.
I know they use Orlando police, and I know that it's near the Orlando airport.
Yeah.
But it's very, they are their own being down there.
They're self-contained. Mm-hmm. So when it does get cut off from humanity, yeah, like there's this dome around mm-hmm. it. Yeah, we'll know why.
And they're doing all their high-tech medical self-driving car stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Okay. Sorry, Lake Nona.
Yeah. Yeah. So I did want to bring this up because I heard two biases in there.
Yeah.
One, you don't like self-driving cars.
I still don't.
Still don't. 6.5 years later. And one, I mean, I heard my own in there too. Lake Nona is, I don't even consider it part of Orlando.
And I still don't.
Yeah. Yeah. It's really out there. I love what they're doing. I love the idea of a more planned community, whether that's Baldwin Celebration, mm-hmm. Lake Nona. But there's also something that, you know, doesn't appeal to me. Like, I would never want to live there because it doesn't have this sense of community that I know exists in the areas that I like to go and I live in.
Yeah. It to me, it just feels very encapsulated. Like, it feels mm-hmm. very shut off. You know, it's like, I don't live in Orlando. I live in Lake Nona mm-hmm. and we're our own thing. And it just feels very, you know, not part of the fabric of.
It doesn't have any dirt under its fingernails either. It's like
all shiny.
Yeah. I want it a little bit. It was the same reason I used to like going downtown versus what's now Disney Springs.
Yeah.
It's like, there's a little danger. A little bit of danger.
Yeah.
So having said that, now that I know that you hate both Lake Nona and self-driving cars, I might be putting words in your mouth. How would that affect you? And again, I'm asking from my perspective because I know how it affects me when I'm thinking about the stories that I want to run in the community paper. But how do you think that would affect you when stories come down the pike and you're producing stories about certain things, like something like that comes up?
Yeah, it's such an interesting thing. You really have to check your biases and check your mental state when you encounter stories like that. Because I may, you know, grumble about it, but mm-hmm. I also know that this needs to be reported and that other people do love it or other people do care. Like, it's that thinking outside of yourself, right? And so it definitely took me time to learn that. And to be able to move past that.
Yeah.
Yeah, it took years in the industry for me to get to the point where I'm like, okay, I may hate this. I may think this is stupid and it doesn't belong on the airwaves. However, this is not the Chantal show, right? Like, this is to serve.
I would watch that show.
Thank you so much.
Yeah.
This is to serve my viewers, right? And this story may matter to a good size of, you know what I mean? So like, you have to just learn that ability to like step out from your own wants and needs and dislikes and likes. And it took me time. But if, you know, if you were to come to me and be like, Chantal, I need your help in the community paper. I need you to go write this story about Waymo. I would grumble and be annoyed about it.
Yeah, I would put you in a Waymo.
I would never get in a Waymo.
Oh, no. You're going to have to. Because this would be the perfect story that someone who absolutely hates the idea of that, hey, you know what? We're going to order you one and you're going to ride to here and ride back and then report in on what that experience was like.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know, it
makes for a good story.
It sure does. And that's the thing. You know, it's just because you don't like it doesn't mean it's not a good story. Doesn't mean it's not valuable and need, you know, doesn't mean it doesn't need to be told. So
I think the other side of that bias issue and like thinking about what stories are important, even though you love something. And so, oh, am I covering this too much? Is being as plugged in as we are is forgetting sometimes the audience has no idea about certain things that happen every year. So I was thinking about Fringe Festival, mm-hmm. which is coming up later this month. It's amazing. Go to yourcommunitypaper.com to learn more about Fringe, or just go to orlandofringe.org to learn about it. But it always comes up every year. I'm just like, oh gosh, another Fringe story. And to me, I love Fringe.
Yeah.
But we've written about it.
Oh, there's only so many Fringe stories you can write.
A million times.
Yeah.
But I do want to introduce that to more people because I want more people to know about it.
Yeah.
So I think there's that component too, is that, you know, you have to, you have to stop for a minute, look at something and go, okay, put myself in the audience's perspective.
Yeah. My husband really helps me with that too, because, you know, I'm obviously by force extremely dialed in to news and happenings and what's going on. Whereas my husband is not chronically online and he's not as, you know, dialed in and finger on the pulse of everything around him. And so he's a good reminder for me. He frequently reminds me that like the vast majority of people aren't as informed mm-hmm. and aren't as up on what's going on when with anything, you know, not just like hyper local community stuff, but even on a national level. If you're not consuming late night news or reading the papers or whatever every single day, you're completely unaware. And so he's constantly a good reminder for me of like, just because I'm, you know, something's oversaturated for me or mm-hmm. overdone or I'm tired of hearing about it, doesn't mean that everyone else is.
Right.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's leave it at that for now. We've got, we're done with the first hour.
Wow.
Yeah. Goes by fast. I'm enjoying it. I talked to you. Chantal Watts is here with me on To a Certain Degree. My name is Nick. You can find out more about Chantal, or you will be able to find out more about, oh no, you can, because you have a, we have an episode up of you already from 2019.
From the dark ages.
So many moons ago. Go to a website called toacertaindegree.com. You can subscribe to the podcast. That's also To a Certain Degree. If you want to text us any questions or comments, you can do that at 407-646-2915. And we're going to play another couple of songs that Chantal has picked for today to get you moving, to get you going on this Wednesday. How about some Olivia Dean?
Oh, I love her.
Let alone the one you love.
Yes.
Let alone the one. Okay.
It'll make sense when you hear.
Leave them alone. leave the one you love alone, I think is what I'm getting. Is that the message?
No.
Oh, okay, great. I'm glad we're listening to this together then. And you'll hear that on WPRK Winter Park, Florida. You're listening to A Certain Degree.